That was a deep breath.
It was. I got it on the screen.
Oh, gosh.
Hi, guys. Welcome to episode 24 of Not According to Plan. My name is Sam Valentine. Sitting across the table from me is Scott Flannery.
Wow, Sam Valentine, your voice sounds somewhat like a 900 number today.
It's because I had some cocktails last night.
Hello, this is Sam Valentine.
Unfortunately, and fortunately, this is what happens when I have more than a drink. Usually more than two.
And you mean adult beverages, hopefully, not just when you drink water more than once.
No, water fixes it.
Ah.
You should. This morning it was this plus age 70. How are you?
I'm lovely.
You look so cute right now. Scott's in his softball outfit.
Kickball.
Mm-hmm. I'm sorry.
I'm glad you didn't even go for baseball. You went straight for softball.
Well, honey, I love you, but...
You know your audience. Yes, it's for those who are wondering why she's saying this, it's an electric blue tank-ish sleeveless shirt with a hot pink picture of RuPaul holding her Emmy.
I think if we would have just let that lie that Scott's in his softball kickball outfit, that it would have pictured you in a full like baseball uniform with those little white pants. We should have let that be.
Sorry.
That's okay. The tank top's cute.
Thank you.
How was your week?
Oh my goodness, it has been a week.
Always.
It's been a week. I want you to know that I went on a first date last night.
Wait, you never get to talk about this on the podcast.
I know.
Tell us. People are probably like, we hear Scott talk about boys all the time. No, not like this. He never reveals things. Right. Did you tell him you have a podcast?
Oh, no.
Oh, great. So we can talk a lot of shit.
Yes. Perfect. Well, not shit, because he's a very nice guy.
How much did you like him?
I mean, there won't be a second date.
Oh, okay, so we can talk all the shit. So,
oh my gosh. No, there won't be a second date just because, no, the chemistry I don't think was there.
Okay.
But good guy. No, because I have a story about what happened.
Fantastic.
So we scheduled the date for last night, and he really wants to go to a wine bar. And so he's asking if I knew of any, and I know of one in West Hollywood called V Wine Bar. V as in the letter V.
I don't know that one.
Exactly. No one knows about it, and it's been there 4 years.
Cool.
Yeah.
It's still open, so good for
you. Oh, yeah. I've lived in West Hollywood coming up on 7 years, never heard of it in my life, and when I went for my first time, he's like, yeah, or the owner. The owner's like, yeah, no one knows of us yet. We are very busy all the time. It's so weird.
Cool.
I think people who don't live in West Hollywood come specifically for that.
Is it? Where is it?
It's near Chop Shop. You know that weird light?
Oh, on Santa Monica.
On Santa Monica Boulevard. Uh-huh. The weird light where you can't turn on red and there's no U-turn. Mm-hmm, and it's like that light. Okay, up that street.
This literally is very inclusive to everyone across the globe who can enjoy this conversation.
Go to that weird intersection in your town and that is where it is. They also don't promote themselves. I think that's why.
Mm.
And they're off Santa Monica.
Do they have wine for not $50 a bottle? Because there's a wine bar up the street from me, and the cheapest wine on the menu is like $50.
Yeah, well, they have by the glass.
Okay.
They also have happy hour, because I asked about it, even though it was clearly not happy hour. I just want to know what it was. Mm-hmm. No, their glasses were between 12 or 13 at the low end, and it went up to 25.
I can't wait to be at the point in my life where, without blinking, I can just be like, yeah, I think I'll take that expensive glass of wine. Because I try to play it off when I'm at restaurants, and I'm going to get the cheapest glass. Right. And I'm like, you know, I think a Pinot Noir sounds really good. Does it sound good to you? Yeah, let's do Pinot Noirs. And you know the waitress inside is going, bitch, I know you're picking the cheapest wine. You don't know, care about no Pinot Noir. Like, we know it's $11 a glass, and that's why you're getting it. Right. It's on the top of the list. You don't give a fuck what it is.
Oh, I don't even, like, play around. I go, that one. I'm going to have the Santa Barbara varietal. And he's trying to sell me on something else. I go, no, I'm all set. I know the grapes at Santa Barbara are very, you know, luscious.
Yeah, I can't afford wines not from California.
Right. Right. So we go to V Wine Bar, and I want to paint the scene for you. It's very cute. It's about the size of your apartment. So for those who are not in this apartment, I'd say the living room is 500 square feet.
I've
We're just going to guess that. Yeah. 500 square feet. Not too large of a bar. And then when you walk in, it's this like 1920s, 1930s library feel.
Oh, cute.
Mm-hmm. The space used to be Charlie Chaplin's acting studio, and it actually was a library in the 20s.
How have I not heard of this place?
I know. It's annoying that no one knows about it.
So how was the date itself?
Well, so we sit down, and there's this post-wedding reception in there. Meaning,
so they were cray-cray.
Yeah, so it was a straight couple, and I only say that because it was like deep in the heart of gay West Hollywood, and yeah. I was like, oh, well, hello. Not that they can't be here.
No, especially on a Friday night,
but
though.
But Friday night in Gayville.
Heavily homosexual.
Yeah, I was just like, oh, that I did not expect
that. Wait, that's a good bar name. Heavily homosexual.
Heavily homosexual. We're starting it now. And so they're having, like, they do a toast or whatever, and I act like I'm in the party because, you know, why not? Mm-hmm. Maybe I'll get a free glass of wine out of it. But so the sommelier comes up, and he asks us what we want to order, and so we order. And what I didn't know about this place is that whenever they pour you the wine, they give you the entire story about that specific bottle.
Oh, nice.
Which is actually cute because he's like, I met this... What, it's not a vineyard owner. What, they must have a name. Whoever owns
the vineyard. Owner of the winery?
Yeah, of the winery. He's like, I met Barbara, and like she planted these grapes as a trial period and actually created this winery in her garage, and it was so successful for friends and family that they actually bought land and ended up becoming like master wine producers. Or I don't know. There was like a whole story. It was cute. And so you're like, oh, okay. So when he's done, I go, well, do you know the owner of this place? And he goes, oh, that's me.
Yeah.
Pause. Rewind 2 weeks ago when I went out with our friend Alice. It was her friend's birthday party. And I didn't really know anyone. So Alice and I are talking. And this woman in the party comes up, and she's very extroverted, sticks her hand out and goes, hi, I'm Trina. And you're like, oh, okay, you're one of those people that's like, you're just going to want to meet everybody. I love that. Let's do this.
Yeah.
So we get to talking. She is this wonderful woman, I'd say like upper 40s, lower 50s.
Okay.
And all of her friends are gays that love to have brunch on the weekends. Her words, not mine.
Mm-hmm.
And so
like a classic gay.
Right. And so when we were talking, this party was on a Saturday night. So she goes, you should join us for brunch tomorrow. You seem cool, and I can introduce you to a few of my guy friends.
And Scott's like, always, yes. That is your favorite sentence. Let me introduce you to.
And I'm like, uh-huh, go on. And she says, one of my friends owns V Wine Bar. And I go, I just heard about that place. It's so great, blah, 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 blah. She goes, well, I'll tell him about you, and then you can meet him at brunch. The next day, I ended up going to brunch with someone else because I forgot I had those plans. I was a typical LA person at this point. But yeah. I did text her, and I did apologize, and I said, I'm so sorry I forgot about these plans, but I hope to run into you and your friends again. So now cut back to the date I'm on. This is the owner of V Wine Bar.
Now I'm seeing the intersection of these two random stories.
Mm-hmm. Here it comes. And I go, do you know the owner? He says, I'm the owner. I go, oh, I met your friend Trina the other day. He goes, oh, did you? I said, yeah, she was at a birthday party. I was supposed to go to brunch with you the next day. He goes, she told me about you. You're the one I'm supposed to go on a date with.
Wait, meanwhile, all this is happening. You have an actual date across the table.
Yes, yes, yes.
And then? I love when you do that.
I didn't know what to do other than to be like...
You softly chuckled.
Yes, because I didn't know he would know she was hooking us up as a potential date. I was just trying to start conversation with this nice guy.
You just planned on going to brunch.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah.
You didn't know it was like a one-off. Like, yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And so he said that, and then I turned to my other
date. Is he cute?
My other date. He was handsome. I am not
he
trying
owns
to be a
the
rude,
wine bar.
I know I am not trying to be rude in any sense of the imagination.
No, but the first
but like
thing
both
you see
of these
about
gentlemen,
someone
I enjoyed my conversation with very much. Neither one did I feel the woozies inside.
Mm-hmm.
That's all I'm saying. I just made that up. So I was there really enjoying the conversation, but trying to deflect the whole date comment.
Uh-huh.
And then he even I don't know somehow it came up that Josh. Oh, whoop. Oh well, that's his name, Josh, and I were on a date.
It's okay. It's not like you gave us his last name and Instagram handle, which rhymes with Never mind. You look so concerned. There's a billion Joshes. You're fine.
That's true. It became known that we were on a date. Anyway, long story short. Nonetheless, the wine bar owner decided to pour a glass and join us.
No.
Yes, no. That happened.
Is this your not according to plan?
This is my not according to plan story.
Oh my God. This is where I have to go first.
No, you got you so were the first the past 2 weeks.
Wait,
what do you want
you
me
were
to
on
do?
Like a triangle date?
I was on a triangle date, essentially dating two different... I was millionaire matchmaker. I was the millionaire, and I had two suitors.
So what you're saying is you were living your dream last night.
I was in heaven.
Oh, my God. I wish that they would have both been incredibly hot and incredibly, like, all about it.
Oh, absolutely.
Then maybe you could have had them both.
And then I go into recruiter mode. Which, you know what that means, but for those who don't, I'm a recruiter by trade, so I can carry on conversation with the best of them because it's my job to do so. So here I am, like, the only way out is through. So I engage them both in a very robust conversation.
Oh, my God.
And try so hard to be nice, because how do you get out of that situation? Yes, some people are thinking you could just look at the wine bar owner and say, we're on a date.
How did he not get that?
I don't
maybe
know.
Maybe he did.
I think he did, and maybe he was making a move.
Oh, he was being a boss.
Yeah.
I kind of like him more. That's a bold move. Bold. He was hashtag being bold.
He was taking my advice for 2017. Absolutely.
So, you should have been like, so I have to go, but if you want, you can watch me on TV on Thursdays.
Well, that's the thing, is neither one knows I'm on The Amazing Race. And I mean, I'm not one to bring that up in conversation. It's a little self-serving.
Oh my God, it's like the first thing I would have told people.
Well,
I get it.
I think it's amazing. And I love it when people are like into it, but I'm not going to be like leading with, did you know I'm on TV?
Yeah, because I hate those people.
So we never talked about that. Aren't you proud of me? I didn't talk about CrossFit nor The Amazing Race and got through a 2-hour date.
What did you talk about?
I have other things.
You do?
I do.
Like softball?
Other things in my arsenal.
Kickball?
Oh, I did find out that I am a Slytherin.
Isn't well, that you well, too? Well. No, I'm not a Slytherin.
Wait, what are you?
I'm a Ravenclaw.
Oh.
But I thought I was a Gryffindor. I still think I'm a Gryffindor.
Because that's a callback to, what, one or two episodes ago when we
last
were
talking.
Last one, when I was sorted. At.
Did you take the For Real quiz?
I took the For Real quiz.
And you answered like questions like
date.
Stars or moon or... No.
Mm-hmm.
No.
This gets better, right?
This is the whole episode. We're not talking about anything else.
No, we are.
You got out your phone and took the Pottermore quiz on... I'm dying.
What
I'm dying.
Had happened...
I need a glass of wine.
...was the person I was on the date with... I'm not going to say his name again just in case everyone forgot. The person I was on the original date with is a huge Harry Potter fan, and it just came up. I did not talk about the WB Studio
How
tour.
How did he feel about the fact that you haven't read all the books?
Oh, he was angry with that. So apparently all y'all people get together and get mad at the non-readers.
What was his favorite book?
I didn't ask him. I did not want to get into dialogue about Harry Potter.
Clearly it didn't work out that way.
Because I had told him about the studio tour when I saw him at the restaurant when we set the stage. That's how he remembered it. Okay, so that's how it came up. And then he's a Hufflepuff, which we laughed over because that's what the Sorting Hat said I was. But then I told him that you said there's a real quiz. And he goes, oh, right, that's the one I took to know I was Hufflepuff.
Yeah, that's an important quiz.
So then I was like, well, maybe I should take this quiz. And then he said you should take it right now.
Oh, boy. Did you just have one glass of wine? How long was this date?
This was a two glasser.
Okay.
Now, at this point... homeboy had left. He had one glass with us and then moved on.
The owner had to go do his job.
Owner had to go do his job. You know, there was a wedding party there and whatnot. So I took the quiz and I was Slytherin, which Josh... Oh, shoot! I said his name again.
Smosh?
Smosh. Predicted. That's how into the houses he is. He was like, you're a Slytherin.
A Slytherin?
Because... We are apparently intelligent and witty. Who am I not to be bashful about these traits?
No kidding. I won't talk about my show, but I'll give you all my best qualifying qualities.
And so once I saw that those were the traits, I'm like, oh, absolutely, that's my house. I just feel like that's the house everyone doesn't want to be in.
Yeah, because it's the bad guys.
Yeah. Maybe I'm a bad guy. Snake.
Maybe you're a bad guy.
I hate snakes.
Well, that's what you are. That's an incredible date, and I am just, I would have paid a lot of money, probably, you know, a $12 glass at least, to be a fly on that wall.
Do you think this is why I don't have second dates?
I think that nothing that you did, I think that nothing that you did on this date was the reason you're not having a second date. I think this was the balls in everyone else's court.
Okay, I'm joking. This is obviously does not happen on every first date, but what a moment.
That is so
funny. What a moment.
Oh, that's a really good one. Thank that's you. A really good not according to plan.
There it is.
It's great. See, this is why we do dumb stuff all the time now. So we have something to talk about on the podcast.
I just kept it going. I'm like, I got to speak tomorrow.
Great.
How about you? What didn't go according to plan for you?
Well, it's not that cool. Actually, okay. So I went to a clothing swap 2 weeks ago on Earth Day, actually. Yes. And it was 30 girls who brought all of the stuff they no longer wear from their closets. We had like rented racks and everything. It was in someone's backyard. Yeah, we all paid $10 to cover the cost of food, drinks, and the racks. And then there's like a system to it, like who goes and picks stuff when and like how we pick it. And I got a bunch of new stuff, by the way, which was great. I got rid of 4 bags of clothes.
Love. 4 bags?
Yes. I have a lot of things that I haven't worn since like college.
And you came back with?
Like 6 to 7 items.
Oh, that's good. That's a good
like
trade.
Quality items. Mm-hmm. I got like Hudson jeans.
Wow.
That fit really well. I got, which is crazy because jeans never fit. Mm-hmm. I got like a dress. I got some really cool stuff. And I got rid of a bunch, which is even better. So I got these shoes and they're really cute Steve Madden boots. And mm-hmm. I was like, why would someone get rid of these? These are so cute. Mm-hmm. So I took them home. Cut to Monday. I booked this commercial. I was not the lead. And when I got to set, I pretty much found out that I was a glorified extra. Mm. And I was not thrilled, but I keep it together.
Sam, there are no small parts, only small actors.
Unless you're in the background.
Okay.
So the paycheck was D still, but I was just not happy. It was also like 6 a.m. We were at a local arcade filming.
Mm-hmm.
And they set up the first shot and I decided, I was like, you know what? I'm just going to be the most standout person in this thing. And they're going to have to bump me to some sort of principal or something because mm-hmm. that's how it goes. Like, I'm just going to be so good they can't ignore me, in the words of Steve Martin. And so I was like, I'm going to be, my hair is going to be perfect. They gave us hair and makeup, but like I like did a few touch ups and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And I put on an outfit and I was like ready. So they walked me to set. And there's a place where the carpet and the tile of the eating area we were filming at, like of this bar, meet.
Okay.
I, being sexy, trying to be the coolest extra on set, I'm wearing my new Steve Madden boots I got at the clothing swap.
Mm-hmm.
Are you seeing where this is going?
I
took one step onto that linoleum floor and went into the biggest frontal lunge of my life. Completely lost control of my limbs. There's two producers on the sides of me. The camera's right in front of me because everyone else is set but me. Because I had to fix my hair and makeup because I wanted to be so good they couldn't ignore me.
Oh, God
and
bless.
I ate complete shit. The bottom of those shoes have no grip left. That's why she wanted to get rid of them, whoever that girl was. She was like, oh, fuck this death trap and tossed it over. So I took them. I wear them to set on the day that I decide to, like they picked our outfits. She was like, those shoes are great. And I was like, thanks. I think so too. And I was just divaing it up, and I was going to have such a moment walking on a set, literally.
Lich
ate shit.
Oh, my God.
It was so embarrassing. Everyone saw. Everyone.
I love that. And as such, were you the stunt double in the commercial?
No, I think after that fall, they were like almost taking me to the hospital.
See, and now this harkens back to you being uncoordinated in the 24-hour fitness commercial.
Oh, my God. I found a picture of that.
Oh, geez.
I'm blurred out in the background, but you can tell I'm like laughing while I'm doing it. I'll put it on the Not According to Plan Facebook page.
Oh, gosh.
For you guys to see. It's It's cringeworthy. But so, yeah. So while trying to be cool, I just decided to take a small tumble. And very obviously in front of everyone. And then the rest, spent the rest of the day with my head down doing my thing and trying to have my balance because I was stuck in those shoes all day.
Excellent.
Because I wore them the first shot.
Excellent.
Thanks for the free shoes.
Are you going to wear them again?
Yeah, I'll probably just get the
on
bottom
carpet.
Fixed. Like, you know, when you walk into parties and they ask you to take your shoes off, mm-hmm. I'll be like, I walk into a party, I'll be like, do you have like a carpet you could put down for me?
Can it be red?
I'm like really into a carpet. I could take the rug and like put it different places.
Yeah, absolutely. Or take the piecemeal rug I gave you and just like pick it up like stones and put one in front of you and then grab the one behind you and just keep walking forward. Like
the floor is lava.
Yeah.
Did you play that when you were a kid?
Yes.
Did you see that video online where they made it for adults?
No.
They made these big mats that looked like a big thing. It was like the size of this table that looked like pieces of lava. And these guys in these hazmat suits, it was like one of those funny things that people do in places like New York City mm-hmm. where people are actually outside of their houses. And they laid them across the street and they like cajoled strangers into coming and playing like the floor is lava. So they'd like hop over these pieces of lava.
That's
and the guys
cute.
In the hazmat suits like holding their hands and jumping with them. And like it was so fun looking.
That's cute. I love that.
Yeah, I'll have to find it and send it to you.
I love that.
Speaking of lava.
Uh-huh.
Do you want to get into some hot lava race talk?
Ooh, that's the best transition.
I just watched your episode this morning.
Oh, did you?
Yeah.
Go on.
So I'm very fresh on the deets.
Okay.
Fresh on the details.
We are about to talk about episode 6 of The Amazing Race 29.
Yeah, and I strongly suggest you watch it before you listen to the rest of this, but... You've listened this far, so I don't really care. So, first of all, if Travelocity wants to sponsor this podcast, as well as The Amazing Race, email us at notaccordingtoplanpodcast@gmail.com. The insert shots of you guys using the phone mm-hmm. were just killing me.
Right. I think it was actually the same hand.
Yes. It was definitely like Phil's or something.
Right. Wait, here we go. It's so easy. I can see all the flight options. This looks like the best one. And I just swipe to purchase. Those are my sound bites.
Oh, did they give you them?
No.
They're like general suggestions.
They were like, be really excited about it.
Right.
And describe what you're doing.
And you were like, oh, a phone.
But I also was that guy. And you know what I'm about to say. I think
do.
You know. I was that guy that was eating up this moment. I'm like, you want me to act? Great. And I
so
just
you're
went,
giving them their heart, your hardest acting.
Oh, yeah. I
like,
was like,
oh, my
oh,
God, it's so easy.
Look, the gnome is on every step. Oh, I can search for all options leading into Milan. Oh, look, there's a few non-direct flights. This tells me which ones are direct. Oh, I just went for it.
Right. You kind of have to in those situations. It's
I mean,
so
what
cheesy.
Else are you going
to
do?
They'll cut whatever they want anyway.
Right.
But the hand shots and the insert shots are so
too bad we didn't get to meet the gnome.
That would have been cool.
Yeah. He makes his way into every season, though, so hopefully I make it
oh,
to
yay.
The leg where we meet the gnome.
I hope you get to meet the gnome.
Yeah.
Michael and Liz make up from their little fight on returning down the hill, and it's just so cute.
I like them.
They were just like, they're like, yep, all right, well, you know, and he was like, my behavior was, you know, just not good. He was like, my behavior was what did he say? I can't remember.
It was
so sweet.
Right. He was just trying to say that, yeah, it was inappropriate. But I gotta love Liz's sound bites. I'm sorry. Are you sorry? Like the tone right. was just very neutral.
Does she, how old is she?
Oh gosh, Liz is young. I think she's 25, 26.
So she doesn't have kids, does she?
No.
Okay. She could have kids.
Yeah.
Liz, you should have kids because you sound like a mom. I'm sorry. Are you sorry?
Right. No, and I know that that's her, and she actually was, but it was just funny. I think if you don't know Liz as closely as I do, it's just very neutral. Like, I'm saying this because we need to say it to move forward.
Right. Oh, I also wrote down that I love how they make your travel look so simple and easy, like it just takes a second.
Oh, my God.
Because they're clipped and it's like buying our tickets, and then we see the people getting on the bus, and then it's like Milan, and I'm like, no, there are so many steps in between point A and point B. It's ridiculous. Uh-huh.
I would like to tell you in one moment all the travel steps involved from the Travelocity app until we landed in Milan.
Okay.
Had to run back down the stairs because it was an active leg. So ran down those, got in our cars, drove over 2 hours to the train station, wherever we were trying to find the train station. Mm-hmm. It's funny because they cut out all the overnights. This is the second time where they make it just look like it's the same day, but we definitely spent the night in tents.
In tents?
In tents along a river in Norway when it was freezing cold.
Wait, so you didn't get on a plane that day?
No.
You got on a plane the next day.
That's right. So when we get into the train station, that's actually the next morning.
It is?
Yeah, so if you go to the YouTube behind the scenes, you'll see a couple of teams. I think we talk about the tents. I don't think they show them, but yeah, we definitely spent the night in tents.
And were you freezing?
It was freezing cold. That was my least favorite night on an active
leg.
Did
they give you stuff like blankets and
we got one sleeping bag and one tent per person. So they were single tents, which was nice. And I was like, Redmond, do you want to sleep with me for body warmth? And like he considered it. It was almost our first night together.
It must have been very cold.
Yeah, it was freezing cold. So anyway, then we get on the train, and it's actually two speed trains to go across Norway because we had to fly out of Oslo. We went by. We stopped in. Where were the Olympics in Norway?
Oslo.
No. But the other one, right?
The other city.
Yeah. Oh, God, it's going to kill me. I'm going to look it up as we keep talking. Or I'm going to keep talking if you'll look it up because that'll bother me. But yeah. It was one of the famous Olympics because it was near the train station. You could see the rings and the big downhill ski slope. They were all by the train station. So I'm like, oh, my God, this is where the Olympics were.
We walked up that ski jump when we were there.
Oh.
Lilyhammer.
There it is.
Lilyhammer, like the show.
Yes, there it is.
Yeah, we went to the one in Oslo, though. We went to the ski jump in Oslo. Okay. You can zip line down it now.
Ooh, that sounds fun.
But when you get to the top and you think about the fact that skiers just stand on little stilts, basically, and fly down it, it makes you want to hurl.
Oh, I can imagine. and so then we got to Oslo, and of course there's waiting for the flight, and then we flew, I think it was direct to Milan, so... There was a lot of travel involved. It was definitely about 20 hours of travel.
Okay. Are they like feed you dinner and stuff?
So during an active leg, which means the cameras are on, which this was because it was keep on racing. So there was no pit stop officially.
So were the cameras on for those tents?
Technically, yes.
So did you have to go buy your own food?
So that was one of two times during an active leg we were fed off camera. And it's because literally there was nowhere to buy food where these tents were. So we just got hot dogs. I mean, it wasn't like, the buffet you saw later in the episode,
which was adorable.
We were fed there but then there's no more. So on the plane, I would eat two meals or three meals. I'd always flirt with the flight attendant. Always.
I'm on TV. Can I have more food? Mm-hmm. Speaking of flirting with the flight attendants, you hitting on that guy on the tram. So were they, I have to wonder what these people were thinking they were doing because they're clearly, they know what's going on because it's very close quarters to have all these people.
Right.
And so those people just had to drive around in that tram for a couple hours, like sitting and eating and.
Yeah. I mean, whenever you see a local involved in the challenge, I mean, they're basically extras.
Yeah.
Right. So whenever there's an extra.
I can tell you all about that.
Speaking of, no, they are literally hired as day players, I guess. Okay. And they just sit there until the challenge is done. So
that's not a bad one to be a part of. Well, around and eat gnocchi?
Well, I think, it's weird because they shouldn't have been waiting that long because they know when we're all coming in.
Yeah.
We're all on the same flight. That challenge was at like 1:30, 2 in the morning.
No.
Local time. Yeah. So we were all super tired. And also just like, I just,
like, travel makes me so exhausted. I don't know how you guys do it. When I get off of an hour plane ride, I'm like, oh, my whole day is gone.
Right. Yeah. Oh no, I feel you. But so imagine I just explained all the travel. So about 20 hours just to get there. And then it was now 2 in the morning ish. So that's why a lot of us missed one of the words because you're just like not with it.
Tram was moving pretty quickly.
Yeah, it was. And then we also, the first time through, didn't know how long it was going to be. So we actually shoved the food down our throats so fast.
Yeah.
Or I did. I mean, I literally put the bowl up to my mouth and just like shoved it in.
It looks delicious.
And chugged my wine because I was like,
do you have to drink the wine?
Yeah, if you asked for it, you had to drink it.
Oh, that's funny.
Yeah. They did not serve wine the second time around. Fun
probably
fact.
Probably good.
Because I wanted a second glass.
I was going to ask you, but you already knew the word you were looking for when you got on the second time. You just had to do it.
How did you know that? That's true.
Because I saw you talking to people and you guys compared notes.
No one had that word. in our group.
You I talked went up to Logan. Logan.
Mm-hmm. That's right. See,
I knew that. I watched it happen. I was like, you. They subtitled it, and you were like, da da da, Lago. And you're like, okay, cool. So you had to get back in, but you already had the word. So that's when you could have had a second glass of wine.
Well,
you were comfy.
Well, no, and here's the thing. So I let the other three get ahead of me in line. I don't know if you can tell that when I'm talking to Logan, because I was, as we know, already in an alliance with Lolo. Uh-huh. So I was giving him the two words I had, and I was like, what are the two you got? So I basically gave him Chernobyl. He mm-hmm. gave me Lago. So we had to ride the tram again, but right. then at that point we had it.
Yeah, that's what I figured that out.
Yeah.
Totally.
So, and then unfortunately the other three guys found it out too, but that's okay.
How long was that ride?
It actually was like 30 or 40 minutes.
Oh, that's
so
long.
I think that's long. And so that's, I think you hear Brooke saying, I'll see you in an hour.
Yeah.
It actually felt that long.
How was the food?
Oh my God, that food was so good. I was not mad about having to do it twice.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh. The first, there was only two courses. The first was like an eggplant.
Mm-hmm.
Two slices of perfectly cooked eggplant with a wonderfully homemade sauce and then a nice basil leaf on top.
I'm drooling right now.
Oh yeah. I
was eating breakfast watching it this morning. I was like, oh, my oatmeal is not palatable.
I can't describe how amazing that dish was. But I do have some Italian heritage, and so my grandmother used to cook for us, and it was obviously very close to that, so it brought mm-hmm. back some memories. The second course was the gnocchi, and it had the stinky cheese on top.
Uh-huh.
It smelled like stinky feet, but it was so... It was cooked well, obviously, but it wasn't as good as the first course.
Okay.
I actually asked for a second first course. I was like, can I just have two of those? But it's a challenge. I had to eat what they put in front of me.
That was funny. I like how Phil was like, and just to make it more fun, we're going to make them eat.
Which actually makes it more stressful. I know that doesn't translate on TV. You're like, oh, they're just eating. But when you don't know how long the ride is.
You have to I would almost like hold my plate like here and look. You guys, like no Redmond one can see me. Doing. But yeah, I literally hold my plate under my face and just mm-hmm. watch outside.
Right. And which it cut to, I know you have more to ask, but cut to the steamboat and you saw the buffet. I was stuffed.
Okay, that was on my list of questions is you go from this eating challenge and then you go to the steamboat where they have like beautiful wine and like this little buffet and everything and everyone's mm-hmm. like eating. And I was like, are they hungry? How long was that between things?
Yeah. This is the longest quote unquote day of the race up to this point. Keep in mind, we had just, so you have to go back to Tanzania. We fly into Norway, do all of Norway, and then it's to keep on racing. I've just described it's 20 more hours to travel to Milan. And the steamboat, we only get about 5 hours of sleep, if that, because the roadblock was at 1, 2 a.m. And you saw that we had to start at 7 a.m.
Yeah.
So just imagine that. So we're working on about 5 hours of actual sleep by the time we get to the detour. And I'm surprised that we all look not as catty as we could have been because we were all so tired. It was the longest leg of my life.
It looked exhausting.
Yeah,
and then they gave you wine. I was like, I'd be passed out.
Oh, yeah. I mean, so this is like now we're halfway through the race. The stresses are still there, but now it's even more stressful because you haven't had any sleep. And, you know, every time we slept the past two nights, one was in a tent for a couple of hours in freezing Norway, where I probably got 2 hours of sleep, if that. And the second was on that steamboat. We slept on the ground of the steamboat.
Oh, so we're not living in the lap of luxury here.
No. Don't think there's like suites hanging up in there. That steamboat was not created for sleeping on. It was supposed to be like just a tour of the Lake Como. It was actually the boys and I slept outside on the hull.
Was it cold?
No, it was actually like 70?
Oh, it was summertime in Italy. Okay,
summertime in Italy. So it was cute because we all slept, the three of us slept sort of together so we could wake each other up.
Oh, that's nice.
And then everyone else slept in where you saw the buffet.
How much food did you have? What was the time between when you did the tram challenge and to get to the buffet? Because everyone poured a glass of wine and started eating, and I was like, are they hungry?
I know. Well, imagine we were about 40 minutes behind Mom and Dad and Mike and Liz because we had to do the whole thing again. Mm-hmm. So that's why they were eating and having a good time. Mike, I'm sorry. I'm going to have to give this story. Mike drank like 2 bottles of wine.
Really?
Alone. Because we had unlimited wine and food.
Oh, that's really kind of them.
Yes, it was. And I don't know if you notice, in the second half of this episode, Mike does not get a lot of airtime because he was drunk.
No.
Mm-hmm.
The next day he
mm-hmm.
was?
Mm-hmm. If you actually listen to him, you can tell.
I totally want to rewatch this now.
And so that's actually one of the reasons I wanted to run with him, because I wanted to make sure he was okay.
Wait, when he's belaying Liz?
Oh, yeah. Uh-huh. Yep. Still drunk.
Mike, you're my new favorite person.
Mm-hmm. Sorry. So you can actually be drunk and still place fourth.
That's incredible. Apparently you can't, because you guys can't get past sixth place, man.
Excuse me. We were fourth in leg number one.
You were fourth in leg number one.
Thank you. 4, 6, 6, 7, 6, 5. 5. That's where we are.
At least we're going up. I love that he was drinking. See, that's the thing. It's so, you're like in Italy and you're like, I want to enjoy this, but right. It's also like, I have to get up in the morning and run and do God fucking knows what else.
Right. And yeah, so actually in the clink scene, you see a lot of the teams clinking wine glasses. Mm-hmm. You don't see me and Brooke. And that's because, you know, I was actually getting ready for bed, because I'm like, this is all cute. I've already played my social game to the max. We have 4 hours of sleep.
Yeah.
Like, I'd rather recharge, because I don't know what the detours are.
And poor Brooke weighs like 67 pounds, so she can't have wine.
Right. I think she ended up having a glass. We ended up having at least one glass.
But, yeah.
Yeah, it's. I was trying to be smart about it, too. Like, let them drink.
I couldn't do it.
Yeah.
It puts me out too much. Oh, I wrote down your quote. No, go away, Vank. I don't know you. Oh, I think that you are becoming yourself on screen slowly. Like, they're slowly showing more and more pieces, which I get that at the beginning it's hard to show all of the teams equally and show everyone's personality, because you have to fit so many people into one episode. But mm-hmm. now that there's half as many, mm-hmm. everyone's getting a little more airtime. We're seeing more personality. And we're finally freaking seeing Scott Flannery on screen. When you hit on the guy on the tram, when you turned and made that face on the... What was it about? You saw the logo the second time around. You go, there it is. And looks back and makes this like, motherfucker type face. I screenshotted it and I'm saving it for life.
Oh my God.
And I think I'm going to make that my computer background picture. But you were like being yourself, which is fun, because you were joking around and you were playing. And like when Vank walked up to you, he was like trying to get what you guys had on your notes.
Uh-huh.
And you're like, no, go away. I don't know you. It was like some shit you would say to me. I loved it. I love seeing you as a person now.
Thank you. I am.
Even if you are kind of a dick.
Well, here's the thing is, I'm very surprised they showed that, but I know it plays into the storyline. Because if you actually watch Vank's expression, he's laughing, because that's, as you know me, that's who I was with all of them on and off camera.
It was funny. He looked like he was having a good time.
Yeah, so he actually didn't take it as me being malicious to him. He knew I was playing the game, but he's not like offended that I'm not showing him this. Now, I know the edit actually makes it look as though we are ganging up on him, because at that point, technically we were, because we were trying to get them out.
Yeah.
But not in that exact moment. Well, I was being funny, but also like, you mean I'm not going to show you my answers?
Right.
Who are you?
He likes rules.
But I made sure Redmond, Floyd, and Logan had all the right answers going into the second tram.
This is my first time watching the show, like I've said. Do teams usually help each other out this much?
No.
I feel like you guys are such a little family, except for Vank and Ashton, sorry.
Do you mind if I talk about that for a second?
No.
So, the Amazing Race is normally very insular. You kind of run your own race, and the only time you might work with someone else is during a U-turn leg, where mm-hmm. you do make agreements about who would you like to U-turn. This, I think, we really turned it up to the max, and I think it's because of a variety of reasons. Number one, we are all single people
who are really
driven to win. So we're like, what's a strategy that will allow us to get further in the game, right? Yeah. I wanted to play a social and strategic game. I made that very known from leg one. So I'm in alliances with about four teams at this point, and they're all, two of my original alliance members are still in at this point. And then we added on Team Fun. So I have Lolo Fun and the boys in my alliance.
Oh.
But it's not really talked about. So it's not until it's needed for story, like now, where you see it actually play out.
Yeah.
So it makes it look like a last minute decision when it's really a culmination of many conversations.
No, I feel like everyone knew exactly who they were going to U-turn and try to get out. It was mm-hmm. very seemed like an across-the-board decision.
Well, and that's the thing is, if you actually listen to a couple of YouTube behind-the-scenes clips, you hear me actually trying to deflect the attention away from Venk and Ashton because I liked both of them. I wasn't in an alliance, but I was in an agreement with them that I would watch their back, feed them information as needed, and then in turn they would help me because... Mm-hmm. You know, Brooke and I thought people would come after us because we were always in the back. And they're like, they're an easy out. Just target them.
Yeah.
So there's glimpses of that when we're driving to the train station where I say, we have got to figure this out. We've got to deflect attention away from ourselves. And so I get the edit as, I guess, the planner of the U-turn, which is fine. I don't mind. But, like, it's funny because I was the only one not actually wanting to U-turn them. But I agreed to
it. Who would you have wanted to?
Oh, my mom and dad and Mike and Liz, for sure.
Yeah.
Now, I know you're thinking, why not the boys? And it's because at this point, I'm still in an alliance with them.
Gotcha.
So I
don't... Mom and dad keep sliding under the radar.
Exactly. And that's exactly... I'm pointing at you. Yes. Because no one could see it.
Yeah.
But me. And I was like, okay, I have a long road ahead of me. I've got to aware everyone of this threat. And so I tried and tried and tried. And I think I planted the seed, but I was unable to turn the tide, as I say. So when everyone was saying Venk and Ashton, I don't want the target on me. So I'm like, you're right. I'm absolutely going to go along with it. What they don't show is, because they can't, it's on a plane. I actually find Ashton on the plane ride from Oslo to Milan, and I give her the whole scoop.
Oh,
and I said, you need to get to the U-turn board first. Everyone is going to U-turn you. Including us, I'm telling you, because I have to go along with it to save myself.
You guys it's crazy. Everyone's helping each other out so much this season. It's crazy.
Yeah, well, and I think I think
the single thing, I didn't even think about that. That's definitely what it is.
Mm-hmm. It's like, how can we play within the rules of the game to save ourselves?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's awesome. Loving it. I asked a funny question. I said, are you so super tired that second time on the tram? And then you get that cruise and there's all that food. and I said, it wouldn't be an episode without Brooke freaking out about something physical.
Oh. I love how they were able to show us after that challenge, though, when she's like, I didn't think I was that verbal or vocal. I know.
And your face. I'm telling you, we're getting all sorts of Scott personality now.
We did get a lot of Scott this episode. I was shocked. I was telling some of my friends, I actually missed viewing this particular episode with anybody because I had to work late this mm-hmm. week. And so I was like, oh, it's okay. I don't need to watch it with anybody. I didn't give spoilers out. But I personally thought it was going to be a boring episode because, well, for people who like leg design, this was pretty linear and it's not that thrilling, okay. To be honest. And I also didn't think we'd get a lot of screen time because there wasn't much drama other than Brooke on the rock wall. So yeah. I was like, they're not going to show much of us. So it is what it is.
Oh, I feel like you were the star.
Well, well, no, cut to, I watched the episode. I was like, oh my gosh, I had no idea they were going to use a lot of my narration to make the story move along.
And a lot of your dubious looks to camera.
You think I would do that every interview? I don't. It just so happens that there's been two or three in the most recent episodes, and it looks like that's my go-to. But it's actually me looking at the producer going like, can you believe what she's saying? Only because they saw it too. I'm honestly not doing it for audience reaction. It was just me being like, am I going insane?
You told her it was just like pushing a baby out.
Okay, I need to set the record straight on that one. Everyone loved that quote. It was all over Twitter. I wish it was the episode title.
You're getting close, man.
I'm getting close. It looks like I don't get the next one either. I think Team Fun gets next week's episode title. Because it's have fun and get it done.
Okay.
I mean, that's pretty obvious who says that. But... Oh, we're talking about the baby. Yeah, that's a comment.
Talking about the baby.
If you look at where Brooke is positioned, she's one pull away from grabbing the clue.
She was so close.
And I'm also pulling her at this point.
Yeah. And I wanted to put myself there with you and be like, the rope is not to pull you up.
Right. But I'm also, you know, I'm going to do whatever it takes.
She was like holding on to it. I was cringe.
Yeah. And so I was like, we need, this is the one last, like, use all of your energy on this. Because you know, in the movies, clearly I haven't done this in real life, but in the movies.
Wait, hold on. Hold a sec. Okay. Say that one more time for us.
Clearly I haven't done this in real life.
No, give me the movie quote. Tell me, tell me what advice you're going to give someone climbing a rock wall.
Oh, you know how in the movies, when someone's having a baby, they're like, okay, last push. Like, make it the big one. One, two, three. And it's like the big push, and apparently the baby comes out.
Yeah, moms also like shit themselves, so.
Okay, well, that's not showing. that is what I was insinuating. I'm like, we're on the very last pull. I needed Brooke to use all of her energy, and I was using all of my energy to pull.
Uh-huh.
And I was like, it's the last one. It's like pushing a baby. One, two, three. But we get it after that.
You did. So it worked. She did it. Her tiny little body. She's so cute.
Yeah.
She is. Her voice is like so loud. Is it that loud in person? I can't wait to meet her. I hope she likes me. She's going to be like, that girl talks shit on me all the time. I think she's going to be great.
She's going to be great. You're going to enjoy her. But I like you, Brooke, but yes, her voice is that loud.
That's what I thought.
Mm-hmm.
And I just, one last closing thought. How many outfits do you have? And can you wash your clothes? Because I was just thinking. Clearly, this is a very important question to end on. I was thinking about how you guys, you know, sleeping in tents, sleeping on the floor of a boat, these things I didn't even know.
Mm-hmm.
And like, how many change of clothes do you have and where do you get them cleaned? What about underwear?
Yeah, this is, it's your choice what you bring on the race. There's only a list of restricted items. So they don't tell you what to bring. They just say what you cannot bring. And the only advice they give is to pack for all climates.
I mean, yeah.
So, okay, well, thanks for that advice. and so when I was packing, I was very conscious of, I know to always pack less than I need.
Mm-hmm.
Because, or less than I think I need.
Because you have to carry it everywhere.
Because, yeah, I've seen the race every single episode. I know I have to carry my bag.
Yeah.
So I packed one long sleeve shirt, one coat, one long pant, and then two shorts, a pair of tights, two shirts, and a tank top.
And that's it.
Yeah, which when you think about that is not that main clothes. It just sounded like a lot.
No, it doesn't sound like much at all.
Oh, okay.
What about underwear and socks?
Now, underwear, I had three pairs of underwear and three pairs of socks.
And how did you clean them?
Well, and here's why. I was like, one to wear, one to wash, one for backup.
Yeah, you got to have backup.
So, because then they would rotate. So, like, I have a dirty pair of underwear and socks waiting to be washed. So, I'm in the next one, and they have a clean one just in case.
Okay.
And, yeah, you are in these clothes. You'll notice I was in those clothes basically 48 hours. And, yeah, it is what it is. But you cannot go out and have your clothes washed. So you if you want to wash your clothes, you have to figure out how to do it in your hotel room between legs. And so for me, I bought, before I left for the race, a very small like soap. What is that soap that you take when you go camping and it's good for everything?
Oh, yeah, camp soap. Dr. Bronner's?
That, yeah. I took a little small container of Dr. Bronner's and I washed my outfits in the sink every pit stop. So this is what would happen if you were interested.
No, this is the stuff. This is what I want to know. Yeah, forget about like climbing mountains. I want to know how you wash your underwear.
So you check in. So I'm going to walk you through. So we check in. I'll just pretend that we're in Lake Como right now.
Gorgeous, by the way.
Oh my God. It was beautiful.
You're living the dream, man.
We were so lucky with that leg.
It's incredible. Okay, go back to the underwear.
Beautiful. Okay. So, and it's funny because Phil makes fun of Liz during this particular check-in because she admits in Italy that she had 30 pairs of underwear, socks. She had like three jeans, like 15 shirts.
How?
Her bag was extremely heavy.
Oh, that's annoying to
I picked it up once.
Repack.
She had like boots and two shoes. I'm like, I don't. Who is this girl? Oh, like, I mean,
you would never have guessed she was the one who overpacked.
She was the one. Yeah,
I would definitely think there were several other women who would have done it.
Logan,
not to stereotype, but
Logan overpacked. If you notice, he wears a different, complete outfit every leg of the race.
How? How does it fit in the bag?
I don't know. I mean,
they must have like space bags or some shit.
No, we all have. I mean, big bags. He was super cute though because his was like all Lululemon basically, and then he has it like rolled up. So he would unpack. He's very particular. Unpack very carefully. Find what he needed. Pack it all back up. Just so Logan was a very clean man.
I get it because there's very few things under your control in this type of trip. Mm-hmm. So the few things that are, I would be OCD about too.
Right. Right.
I'd be like, I own six things.
But I also loved how Logan and I, not at sight, I don't think at first, but we knew that we were the same size. So I was like, can I have some backup clothes if ever? And he goes, absolutely.
Oh, that's
so
awesome.
He was my friend to give me extra clothes if needed. But anyway, so we check in with Phil. You do your interview with Phil, which can last up to like 20 minutes. And then you go off, and then that's when they check your passports and your money and all of that. Mm-hmm. And then you have to wait your turn to be interviewed by production for the cut-ins.
Sound bites, yeah.
And that can take upwards of 2 hours, which cuts into your pit stop time. So if they say you have 10 hours until you start, that's from when you touch the mat with Phil. So the clock is running when he interviews you, when you're waiting with passports, when you're waiting for your interviews, when you're interviewing.
So you take your downtime wherever you can.
Yeah. So like I knew the gist. So I would actually write my clues from the leg in my notebook so I could memorize them in the hotel rooms. And then because, you know, if you last until the end, there's always a memory challenge.
There is?
Always. And so I'm always prepping. So I'm just memorizing everything about the race.
You're so smart.
Oh, thank you. I was preparing myself. And Brooke and I, that was our strategy. So she would actually go home with notes on alternating nights and memorize what was going on. Us and our sound, our production team, the camera and sound from that leg. So the four of us would go in a van and we go to the hotel for the night. We order room service for dinner or whatever meal is next. And then they put us in single hotel rooms. And then you're in that hotel room until about an hour before. For your call time.
Do they have to, and like the girls who look, like Sarah always looked so pretty. Mm-hmm. So she got up in the morning and put on makeup.
Yes. Or, wow. And or would go into the lav on final approach in the airplanes and would reapply.
Wow.
Yeah. And so I always
that
had my own system.
Room
when I got into my hotel room, I stripped down, opened up my bag, and anything that was remotely dirty, went ahead and washed it in the sink. Mm-hmm. I was naked in my room washing my things because you had to hang dry them because obviously there's not a dryer.
Oh, so that took all your time.
Right. So I'm like, that needs as much time as possible. So that's why I always hand wash first.
Yeah, because it gets musty. Mm-hmm. Wet clothes with slightly damp clothes. Blah. Did that happen? That definitely should have happened to someone.
Oh, that some people had
stinky clothes.
Yeah. Yeah. Because a lot of people.
You guys were probably ripe by the end of the show.
Well, no, because we shower in between episodes.
I know, but your clothes and stuff.
Oh, well, I was just very on top of it. So I was fine. But yeah, I would hang it up to dry. And as soon as I hung it to dry, I'd jump in the shower and do a really thorough cleaning because it could have been upwards of, you know, 48 hours since my last shower. Mm-hmm. And then I pop on my next leg's clothes because I knew my dinner was coming and I don't want to be naked. And then you eat in your room. And for me, I would memorize what's going on. I would strategize about what conversations I needed to have the next leg and then watch a little bit of TV. Then I go to bed.
Oh, they let you watch a show?
Yeah, your TVs were not pulled from your room. But interestingly, your phones and your alarm clocks were in every hotel.
How'd you wake up?
It was on your own. So for... I had my watch that I wore during the race. Okay. Had a vibrator.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. And then I always figured out which room Brooke was in, and I would make sure to wake her up, and vice versa. She always knew which room I was in.
Can I let you have an alarm clock?
No alarm clock.
No alarm clock, no coffee.
Oh, yeah. No coffee.
I have a lot of issues.
Uh-huh. And so, yeah, then I wake up. I'd repack my bag. I'd be in my race clothes already because I slept in them the night before, and then off you go.
Cool.
So that's why I did every leg. It just gave me, like you said, some control or some routine. It made me feel better.
Yeah, it's a little homey. You have like a schedule
yeah.
of some kind when you're flying 20 hours to go somewhere.
Oh, God.
Cool.
That was Milan and Lake Como. Say Lake Como.
Lake Como?
What is Scott's favorite vacation destination? Lake Como.
Is your favorite?
Lake Como.
Oh.
Mm-hmm. I didn't get it either the first time someone said it.
Mm-hmm. That missed the edits. I don't know why.
Yeah. So next week we go to Venice. Did you see the spoiler in the preview?
A little.
I get to sing in a gondola.
Oh yes, you guys are wearing adorable matching outfits, and I am dying. Just
I still
so you
have
know,
it.
Probably I'm gonna make you do it on the podcast. Prepare yourself.
I have the song memorized, so sure.
Oh my God. Teaser for next week, guys.
Oh God.
So if you want to stay up to date with all of this and hear Scott sing soon, you can subscribe to us in iTunes. Leave a review. Please do that soon. I know people haven't left reviews yet, and I'll find you. You can also like our Not According to Plan Facebook page if you want to shout us out. If you want to talk to Scott directly, you can email us at notaccordingtoplanpodcast@gmail.com. We got a lovely email from your former roommate on the cruise.
Tony!
Tony sent us a very long email. Guess what he included?
What?
A picture of us? A picture of you dressed as a village person.
Oh, God.
So if you guys are new to the podcast, listen, episode one sucks. I'm aware. The sound quality is bad. We had a lot to learn. It's cut terribly. But if you want to giggle, fast forward like the first 15 minutes and then listen. And I will show you this picture.
Oh, my God. I love Tony. I love him so much. What did he send you? Oh, my God.
This picture will be available later this week on the Not According to Plan Facebook page.
I am the Indian in this image, and I want everyone to know that when it is posted, this was a full-body Indian costume cut to my second ship when I had to play the Indian again. All they had was a loincloth.
I'm sad I don't have that.
And I'm
picture.
Done speaking. It was I went from what you're going to see, a full body suit covering every ounce of skin, to a loincloth which showed every ounce of skin. And Tony, look at you looking all cute as the sailor.
So I'll post that on our Facebook page. So you should definitely like and subscribe and hang out with us all the time. Regardless, and you can follow Scott at Scott Flannery everywhere.
Everywhere.
And you can follow his adventures on Facebook by TAR29 because that is his official Scott fan page for the race.
Woo! Oh, can I do yours? Yeah. I hope I remember them all. I know it's one, the number one, brokeactress.com for them to read all about your wonderful adventures in Los Angeles. Mm-hmm. They can also email you at notaccordingtoplanpodcast@gmail.com because why wouldn't you want to talk to Sam?
And also, probably I read the emails first. Okay, bye.
True. And by read them first, you mean read them.
Yep.
Yep. Okay. I promise I'll read Tony's. you can also find her at SamValentine1. She's shaking her head.
Instagram. Just Instagram.
Which
I know.
Instagram.
I know. You make this very. Just Sam Valentine.
Sam Valentine on Instagram?
Yeah.
Oh, yay. Okay. So go on Instagram, Sam Valentine. And then.
We've only doing this for 24 episodes.
You changed your name 16 times.
Never on Instagram.
Oh, okay. But
never.
Everyone should know that we do some live Instagram videoing on some of our episodes.
It's really fun.
So it's fun to follow her.
And you can see what the studio looks like.
The studio. Our third iteration. I love it.
Many places, many people. All right, folks. That's all we have for you today.
Thanks for listening.
Of course. Thank you so much. We'll talk to you next week.
Bye, y'all.
Bye.